Welcome to today's edition of Feet to the Fire, where we're always challenging the status quo. For more cutting-edge commentary, go to feettothefire.org. That is feet, the number two, thefire.org. And now your host.
Today is Thanksgiving, and welcome to Feet to the Fire and your bonus Thanksgiving edition. This is your host, Sergio Fassa. Now, I know I said I wouldn't be back until Monday, but I decided to do an extra special edition for Thanksgiving. So happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there. Hope you have a wonderful holiday. I love this holiday. And I talked about it yesterday, but didn't get to something very important that I wanted to talk about. And in honor of the late, great Rush Limbaugh, I'm going to take a cue from him and do what he did every year this time of year on his radio program and read to you about the real experience of the Plymouth Plantation, the Pilgrims, and their economy. This is a great teaching opportunity. It's something that's never taught, kind of a quote-unquote real story of Thanksgiving. Now, you hear everybody say it this time of year, as I mentioned yesterday, and they turn it into all kinds of twisted, revisionist versions of history. But this actually, I'm going to read for you, from the actual journals of Governor William Bradford of the Plymouth Plantation. So let's get started. This is going to show you and teach you through the very experience of the Pilgrims, the superiority of property rights and a right biblical economic system, what we would call today capitalism. You see, again, you probably didn't know this, but at the time of the Plymouth Plantation, the Pilgrims, they had an experience, an attempt in what we would call now collectivism or socialism or Marxism. Now, back then they didn't call it socialism. It didn't have formal names and principles, but the idea was exactly that, collectivism, shared property, no property ownership. Everyone just working together and sharing in the work and then in the produce. And the Pilgrims found out it didn't work. They realized that what they needed to do was stick with the model from the Bible, which upholds and teaches property rights, ownership, personal work and work ethics, and production, and that elevates everyone in society to the greatest degree and in the most effective way. So this was an early experiment in collectivism, in socialism, even before Karl Marx, hundreds of years before, even before these ideas were nailed down. But what we find out, and as Bradford hints at, these are age-old, devilish ideas, collectivism and abolishing property rights. They've always been floating out there. Nothing's new under the sun. The devil is doing this up to the same tricks and dissolving property rights and supplanting it with some sort of collectivism or top-down control has always been around in human civilization. It's just the modern version has a little bit more specific descriptions. But my point is, the Pilgrims experimented in it, and it didn't work. And they found out capitalism, even though, again, they didn't call it that, was the way to go. Let's read. This is by William Bradford from his journal diary of Plymouth Plantation, chapter 16. The year listed is 1623. By the way, I'm reading from a edited version from printed in 1967. But Bradford wrote this back in 1623. And he says this. Now, as he describes it, he talks kind of backwards. He explains what they're doing now and how it's better. And then he does all of a sudden a look back in time to what they were doing beforehand that wasn't working. William Bradford says, "All this while no supply was heard of, neither knew they when they might expect any." So they're running out of supplies. Things are not looking good. "So they began to think how they might raise as much corn as they could and obtain a better crop than they had done, that they might not still thus languish in misery." So they need a plan to get out of this misery and poverty they were in with a lack of supplies. "At length, after much debate of things, the governor, with the advice of the chiefest among them, gave way that they should set corn every man for his own particular, and in that regard trust to themselves. So, right there, if you can cut through the old English, was the decision to reinstitute or hearken back to property rights. I'll read that again. The idea was that they should set corn every man for his own particular. In other words, each man gets his own property, raises his own corn, and is responsible for it himself. He says, and in that regard, trust to themselves, work for themselves. In all other things, to go on in the general way as before. And so assign to every family a parcel of land. There it is. Each family got their own land, according to the proportion of their number, for that end, only for present use, but made no division for inheritance, and ranged all boys and youth under some family. So every family got their own property, parcel of land, for which they were responsible, and even the children were assigned to those different families, I'm assuming there, if some of the kids were orphans. But everybody was assigned to a piece of land. And he goes on, this had very good success, for it made all hands very industrious. So it worked because everybody started working hard. So as, here's the punchline, much more corn was planted than otherwise would have been by any means the governor or any other could use, and saved him a great deal of trouble and gave far better content. So in other words, this had great success because everybody worked hard and a whole lot more produce and corn was created. In other words, an increase for everybody of production and prosperity because of personal responsibility, personal property ownership, and personal work and labors. Personal responsibility. The women now went willingly into the field and took their little ones with them to set corn, which before would allege weakness and inability, whom to have compelled would have been thought great tyranny and oppression. In other words, now the women and the little ones were excited to go out and plant and work the fields. And in the prior mode, in the prior system that they were doing, collectivism, they would have said, oh, I'm too tired or unable, I can't do it. Now everybody was motivated to work. Well, now he looks back, a flashback onto what they were doing. And this right here is the key sentence. The experience that was had in this common course and condition, now he's hearkening back to what they were doing with collectivism, where they all just shared everything and they all worked the fields and then took all the produce and put it in a common collective, a common storehouse, and then anybody could get as he wanted. Nobody owned any of the land, owned any of the produce, owned any of the corn, owned any of the stuff. They just all shared it communally, communism. Okay, that's what he's talking back. He's flashing back and he's saying it didn't work. The experience that was had in this common course and condition, the one they did previously, tried sundry years, and that amongst godly and sober men. We even tried collectivism among Christians. The experience that was had may well evince the vanity of that conceit of Plato's and other ancients applauded by some of later times. So he goes, our experience showed the vanity of these theories that have been around since ancient times about getting rid of property rights. He continues, that the taking away of property and bringing in community into a commonwealth would make them happy and flourishing as if they were wiser than God. He says, we were acting like, and the ancients are acting like, they're wiser than God to say we should suspend property rights and bring everything in community into a commonwealth, as though that would make us happy and flourishing. It didn't. He continues to describe it. For this community, so far as it was found to breed much confusion and discontent and retard much employment that would have been to their benefit and comfort. In other words, doing it as a collective socialist community, there was confusion, there was discontent, and it discouraged work. For the young men, here's what happened, that were most able and fit for labor and service, did repine that they should spend their time and strength to work for other men's wives and children without any recompense. The young guys doing all the work were saying, why should I keep working when my production and my wealth gets, my property and the stuff I work on gets confiscated and redistributed to people who aren't working? You see that? Sounds like today. This is in the 1600s, at the beginning of America. Did you know that? You didn't know this. That they're describing the economic arguments of modern times, and they were experiencing it back then, and making a great case for capitalism. Listen, guys, nothing's new. It's the same old story, and God's way is always the better way. He continues, the strong or man of parts had no more in division of victuals and clothes than he that was weak and not able to do a quarter the other could. This was thought injustice. So the weak guys who were doing nothing were getting the same proportionate benefits as the guys who were doing all the work. The aged and graver men to be ranked and equalized in labors and victuals, clothes, etc., with the meaner and younger sort, thought it some indignity and disrespect unto them. So the older guys were like, hey, we're the aged and honored, and we're getting the same as these young upstarts? That's not right. So you see envy. You see division. You see discontentment and anger. And for men's wives to be commanded to do service for other men, as dressing their meat, washing their clothes, etc., they deemed it a kind of slavery. Neither could many husbands well brook it. Upon the point all being to have alike and all to do alike, they thought themselves in the like condition, and one as good as another. And so, if it did not cut off those relations that God hath set amongst men, yet it did at least much diminish and take off the mutual respects that should be preserved amongst them. So, everybody trying to have the same and be exactly the same as in a collectivist system and own the same, or rather not own anything, even if it didn't completely annihilate our social relationships, yet it caused so much strain and diminished and ruined mutual respect and unity. And it would have been worse if they had been men of another condition. Let none object, this is men's corruption and nothing to the course itself. Don't you love that? You hear it all the time from leftists and college students. Well, communism has to be tried in the right way by the right people. Then it'll work. And Bradford's saying, no. Don't anybody object that it's the fault of the guys trying it and that with others it would work. But the system itself is good. The system's not corrupt. Just blame it on the guys doing it. If we could get better men to do it, it'll work. He says, no, let nobody object that it's the problem of the men doing it and having nothing to the course or the program or the philosophy itself. He says, no, the philosophy is the problem. Collectivism is the problem. Suspending property rights is the problem. And he finishes, seeing all men have this corruption in them, God in his wisdom saw another course fitter for them. Bradford says, with right biblical theology, because all men are corrupt, this system will never work. So why don't we, according to God's wisdom, use another course more fitting for men that God himself has instituted? Because God from the very beginning knew what was best, and he instituted property rights. So when we pay attention from history and listen to our earliest forebears, the pilgrims, we learn that even then, they realized and learned the value of biblical economics and the superiority of property rights over any even primitive, wicked notions of collectivism, socialism, and economic sharing. Let justice roll down like waters, America, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Don't believe the hype out there. Socialism always devolves everyone downward in a spiral of misery, poverty, and want. God's way, the biblical way, capitalism and property rights, elevates everybody and breeds much freedom, liberty, and prosperity. The pilgrims learn that quick lesson early on at the very beginning of American history, and we do well to learn it again. Happy Thanksgiving, folks, and have a blessed weekend. See you next week.